You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Ultra-processed foods are associated with over 30 different medical problems, including type 2 diabetes and heart disease. That's according to a review of research published in the British Medical Journal. Ultra-processed foods make up 58% of the calories Americans consume, according to that same study. But figuring out what counts as ultra-processed is not always easy. We're going to check out the link between ultra-processed foods and various health problems, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. We've got a Wisconsin nutrition expert with us. Do you have a question about sorting out which foods are maybe too processed to be healthy versus better, healthier options? When you are shopping, how do you balance convenience and healthiness in your diet? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Beth Olson is an associate professor of nutritional sciences in the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's good to be speaking with you again.
When we use a phrase like ultra-processed food, you know, as food consumers, we might have certain things pop into our heads. When we're talking about researchers trying to categorize ultra-processed foods and studies like this, what are we talking about here, Beth?
So I think of that exactly how you do, in two different ways. One is how researchers look at it. There's a group that made a list of rules about what qualifies as ultra-processed or one of the other categories that they have. And researchers are using that to look at how is a high intake of those kind of foods associated with certain health outcomes. But for consumers, it's different. It's a list of rules. It's not a list of foods. So there's no way to pick up a food and say, well, this is ultra processed or not. And for that, then we have to interpret that and give probably very similar guidance to what we've been given to people for a long time about what are the best things to choose to eat most often.
Now, before we dig too deep into the research, let's front load this here. What are some of those rules of thumb when we're at grocery stores or restaurants to try to figure out, more food-like, more healthy versus, hey, maybe that's too processed to be healthy?
Well, we can use a couple of things. One is perhaps some common sense. You know, when you're the produce aisle and you're looking at the fruits and the vegetables, those are going to be good foods for you. Often people will say shop around the perimeter of the store. That's where your dairy is going to be. And other things like that. The other thing is to look at labels. So when you are in the middle of the store and picking up a can or a box or a frozen package, look at the label and say, you know, how much fiber does this have in? What's the ingredient listing? Does it list whole wheat or does it list, you know, a different kind of refined grain, for instance?
What are some of the foods where we're most likely to run into this kind of ultra processing where it looks less and less like food to our bodies?
Well, certainly, if someone thinks of snack categories or treat categories, so pretty much everything in that aisle that has chips and crackers and other what we would call, some people would call junk foods or foods like that, or in the candy aisle where you're getting candies and other treats, baked goods that would have a lot of added sugar. All of those foods are certainly going to fall into that ultra-processed category.
What is it about these ultra-processed foods that may be linked with bad health outcomes down the road? Is it bad stuff in the food itself, or is that we're eating that instead of the good stuff?
You know, Rob, that's the million-dollar question, and I think it's probably both. It's that you're eating foods that are probably higher in fat. They may be making your blood sugar rise more quickly than we would like. They may not have ingredients that we need for our guts to be healthy, the microbiome that we're all been talking about recently, the bacteria in our gut, like fiber. So part of it's that, part of it's indeed that we're crowding out all the foods that we recommend people eat. If people actually followed the dietary guidelines, which is the government's guidance, and ate the foods that are recommended, they just wouldn't have as much room left in their diet for the ultra-processed foods.
Beth Olson is with us, Associate Professor of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. We are talking about ultra-processed foods, some recent studies finding connections between eating a diet heavy in these ultra-processed foods and a variety of health conditions that you don't want, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how all of this works? How do you make your decisions in what to eat and serve and when? Is it a battle sometimes between convenience? You know the food isn't maybe as good for you, but it's ready and it's fast. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Beth, I want to talk about access to the healthier foods. We sometimes hear about food deserts where people don't have access to, say, that fresh produce aisle, people without enough money or enough time to prepare foods. What are some things we can do to help in those situations connect people with the good stuff?
So we can take different approaches. One would be more of a policy approach, an environmental approach. So working in communities to have better stores in our, you know, local neighborhoods so people have access to those foods. Other policies related to providing or incentives to purchase them, or perhaps just making them accessible to those who don't have as much money, you know, having healthy foods available in our schools, for instance, so that any kid coming to school can have healthy meal. But then we can also do education, which I work with Extension, and they do a lot of nutrition education where they work with people on, if this is what you have available, how do you make choices among those that are best? How do I make them with the money that I do have? How do I read labels to maximize the nutrients I get for the dollars I spend?
One concern I've seen brought up in these conversations, Beth, is the idea that some of these ultra-processed foods are engineered to be, I think I've seen the phrase, hyper-palatable, meaning they make us want to eat them and keep on eating them. I think a lot of us have had that experience maybe with a bag of chips. How big a problem is this? Is this actually leading us to eat more calories and more salt, sugar, and fat that in those doses aren't so good for us?
Sure. Food manufacturers know how to make food taste good. That's their business. And it will contribute to us perhaps eating a bit more than we should be. I think it also comes from how we're brought up, what we get used to. So if what we're brought up is with these foods, and then that's what we prefer. But if we can help families choose other foods for their littlest kids, so that they grow up exposed to fruits and vegetables and, you know, whole grains and other things, and develop some preference at least or liking for them, I think that could also go a ways to helping us not feel like the only choices we have that are going to be tasty are going to be the big bag of chips.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Piero is with us in Wauwatosa. Piero, hi.
Hi, good evening. I just want to make a brief comment that can help the listeners to identify processed food, which is any food your grandmother would not recognize, that is processed food. Another hint, another suggestion is any food that comes in a box and it has a UPC code probably is not real food.
Piero, thanks for the call. Beth, I've seen that argument. I think that might be a Michael Pollan thing, that if your grandparents wouldn't recognize this food or make it, it isn't really food. I don't know. What do you think of that idea as a rule of thumb?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's also a difference, and most researchers and nutritionists see a difference between processed and ultra-processed. So indeed, much of the food we eat now compared to indeed what my grandmother got in her garden is processed, but it doesn't mean that that's all unhealthy. So there are many people who just aren't going to have their own home garden or be able to go to a farmer's market. There's people who can't get to the store often enough. And so for those folks, there are plenty of healthful options that do come in boxes or cans or in the frozen food aisle, frozen canned fruits and vegetables, whole grain breads. There are many choices. So I think it's a little too simple to say that if your grandmother didn't prepare it, it wouldn't be healthy.
Piero, thanks for that call. Beth Olson is with us, Associate Professor of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. She's talking with us about a new review of research on potential health issues that come from eating ultra-processed foods. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have advice on foods, meals that are convenient and affordable but don't sacrifice when it comes to nutrition? What is your relationship to these kind of ultra-processed foods we're talking about? Do you find yourself drawn to eat a lot of them. No shame in that. I love these things. I try not to eat them so much as I used to. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with UW-Madison Nutritional Sciences Professor Beth Olson about ultra-processed foods and what we know about their effects on our health and healthier eating options. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about ultra-processed foods, what they are, the nutritional value they have or lack of same? Can you talk a little bit about your decision-making when you're preparing food, buying food? Are there some snacks you steer clear of because it doesn't seem like they're really food in the first place? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Beth, a deeply personal question for me that may have relevance for others. I eat breakfast cereal. I've eaten it my whole life, probably eaten a disturbing amount. But my rule generally when I'm buying it is I look at the label. If it's got like 4 grams of fiber or more, that makes me think, okay, there's some real food substance in here. Am I fooling myself?
No, not at all. I think that's a great rule of thumb. And I think one of the ways I've talked to people about choosing foods, breakfast cereal could be something else, bread, soup, is if that's what you want to eat, pick up a selection of them and turn the labels over and compare. So are you picking up a food that has more fiber, more whole grain in it, like a bread or a cereal? If you're doing a soup, does it have more fiber? Does it have more vegetables? Does it have a leaner meat in it? Or does it have more added fat or the foods have added sugars? So pick the soup, but look among the soups and make the best choice among those. Pick the cereal, but pick the best cereal among the ones that are available to you.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Dana is with us now in West Bend. Hi, Dana.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering about a lot of like DIY recipes. So you find something, you know, that you really like, but you're trying to take out all of that high processed stuff, but you're still kind of making the same thing. Where does that fall?
And Dana, do you have a specific example in mind, maybe one you've tried or thought about trying?
Yeah. So Pop-Tarts, for example, right? Super high processed, but like you can make a homemade pastry, but you're still having lots of sugar and stuff. So I guess, does it really make an impact?
Interesting, Dana. What do you think, Beth? Substituting a homemade Pop-Tart or what have you, making it at home?
Yeah, she brings up a great point that it isn't always exactly that the food was made at home or it was made at a plant and shipped to your store. It's what's in it. So you could make almost the same recipe at home and wouldn't necessarily make it a lot healthier. Now, alternatively, you could. So perhaps instead of buying the packaged heat-up lasagna, you're making lasagna at home and you're making it with a leaner meat or a leaner, a lower-fat cheese, or you're making it with some whole grain pasta, or you're putting in fresh tomatoes. So I think there are ways to take some of those recipes and make them in a healthier way. And you have to decide which of those is worth it and which might be worth just not eating that food.
Dana, thanks a lot for that call. As I understand it, Beth, a lot of times when we talk about ultra-processed foods, it's a matter of, you know, breaking down that grain or potato or whatever ingredient into really a component element, extruding it, and then shaping it into the chip or the Pop-Tart or something like that. That's something we're not doing at home. It almost seems like if we're at least starting with, you know, some actual flour or something like that, or oats or a potato to make our own chips, it seems like that's going to be a little better.
Oh, yes, indeed. You can use more whole foods. You wouldn't be adding in ingredients that, you know, we don't need. They're perhaps, you know, necessary for a food manufacturer. That is, you know, we make something in our kitchen and then we eat it. They're making something in a plant. They have to ship it. Sometimes it has to be frozen or be on a shelf. So they need to add some things so things don't separate. You know, so things don't mold, whatever. And we can eliminate that when we make it at home.
Thanks again for that call and that question at 800-642-1234. Fran is with us now in Viroqua. Fran, hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a question for your guest regarding
protein powders and protein drinks and bars. I have two very, very busy teenagers, and sometimes that's the easiest thing that they can grab to give them fuel for sports activities and dance and just all of their other activities. So I'm just curious what your guest thinks about those types of options. We try to be as natural and plant-based as possible, but I still believe they're processed. So just wondering if that's the best option.
Fran, thanks for the call. What do you think, Beth?
Yeah, she brings up another good point, which is sometimes a processed food is what we need at the moment. You know, just not many of us are going to eat all unprocessed foods. And often the people that can afford a little bit of something that might be a little bit more processed are people who are perhaps more active and they're on the move, like teens, people in sports. And I think, again, there's probably a variety of different kinds of bars, protein bars or energy bars. I know there are a large variety available. So one could read the label and look for one that has more whole ingredients, maybe has a little bit of fiber, has maybe a fewer added ingredients. So even among those, just making the best choice. But I think, you know, sometimes there's really a role for that grab and go kind of thing.
Fran, thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helps. Beth, one thing that struck me some years ago is that, you know, there were some products, breakfast bars and things like that, that would be labeled low fat. So great, they're healthy food. But then when you think about it, they're heavily processed. There might be a lot of sugar added to add some flavor when that fat is gone. How do we distinguish a food that might make some kind of healthy claim on the label, but have some sinister stuff down beneath it?
Yeah, what's on labels is, quite variable. Certain things on it are regulated in one way and certain things are regulated another. I tell people, I think the safest thing to do is look on that nutrition facts panel and the ingredients label and see how well those line up too. So look at the ingredient label, and if it has grain ingredients, look up above and see, does it have fiber? And if not, then those are probably refined grains. So I would say look there. And not worry as much when something says low fat or high in vitamin C or something else. Because, of course, even when we look at our whole diet, looking at a single nutrient or a single property isn't all that helpful. We kind of want to look at the picture as a whole.
Talking to nutrition expert Beth Olson from UW-Madison, looking at ultra-processed foods and some of the health risks that could be involved with them. Beth, let's talk about sugar and stealth sugar that pops up in surprising foods. And it's trickier sometimes than just reading a label and looking for the word sugar. What are some of the words we're looking for to see the different kinds of sugars out there on the market?
Yeah, so I don't even know if I can give you the whole list because there's quite a bit, but brown sugar, white sugar, cane sugar, but then there's things, you know, honey can be added to products to make them sweeter and really isn't going to do anything more for you than, white or brown sugar. So that's another added sugar. Certainly the syrups, high fructose corn syrup, of course, is a major sweetener that we use here in the U.S., especially in soda pops. So yeah, you really have to read them all and look for all the syrups and invert sugar. And so any word with sugar, any word with syrup. And now on the food label, manufacturers do, if it's a processed food, they do have to add if it has added sugars. We didn't have to do that in the past. So you didn't always have a way of knowing if the sugar in there was naturally occurring or added by the manufacturer. But now they do. So look on the label for added sugars.
Time for one more caller. Chelsea is with us in Hartford. Chelsea, hi.
Hi. I actually have I've been making this recipe for my husband. He's gets up in the morning and needs breakfast bars, and I've been making this recipe for many moons, and it is raw blueberries, probably a handful, and one banana, one egg, and I put raw oats in there as well, and I mix it up and I bake it on a sheet flat. I spread it on a sheet, cookie sheet flat, and bake it and cut them into bar sizes, and that's his breakfast bar for the morning. And it is, every once in a while I'll add like extra like protein powder or different kind of additives depending upon how we're feeling or Excellent. How I want the flavor. And that's something that I've used forever. And my husband, who never ate lunch before, never ate breakfast before, he loves them.
Chelsea, thanks a lot for sharing that. Maybe I can place an order after the show. It sounds pretty good. Beth, some creative cooking, and it sounds like you can make a bunch of these things at once. Whether people make that exact recipe, what do you think of that idea of substituting a home-baked breakfast bar?
I think that's a great idea. And I mean, she's putting in, not just making it herself, but putting in some wonderful ingredients, things that are healthy, the blueberries and the oats. And, you know, one of the things she's doing in order to have that happen is she's planning ahead. Mm-hmm. She had to go to the store and get that. She had to make it. And that's one thing, if we're able, and not everybody has this time and not everybody has these resources, but if we're able to plan ahead, we can think, you know, this is going to be a busy week. I do this myself. I'll say, this is going to be a busy week. I'm going to get some frozen vegetables to make sure if I don't have time to make fresh, I can use those frozen ones, or I can put them into a soup. So thinking ahead, it's good to plan ahead and maybe buy some of those ingredients, whether they are in a package or fresh, and have them on hand, have them in your pantry. So you're ready to go on the night when you just don't have time to spend a lot of time on dinner.
Chelsea, thanks for sharing that with us. And Beth, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Me too. That's Beth Olson, Associate Professor of Nutritional Sciences in the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. She talked to us today about new research on ultra-processed foods. Hey, if you have an easy, healthy food tip to share with us, let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, rural hospitals are closing in western Wisconsin and elsewhere. Find out why and what it means for people and their health care in those parts of the state. And it's Food Friday with a focus on sauce with the new cookbook Saucy, 50 recipes for great sauces. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.